That's what they're telling you to do. Yes, that's
right. If you're going to eat it, kill it and eat it. Yes. Don't eat anything that's naturally occurring. Yes, yes, that's right. Second, blood. Blood. Prophet. Yes, blood. So, you know what Muslims can't eat the most, right? Prophet's hangover soup. If you go eat that, it's completely blasphemous. Oh, you're in big trouble. If you want to sever ties with this Muslim, just break up beforehand. Oh, and Sunday is also not allowed. Of course not. Pork, right? Toppy is also a pig. Oh, and
next, no pork. Pork, yes, no pork. And next, anything offered in the name of God. Yeah, you know, those sacrificial foods. Yes, 3% gather together. Religion is with God. These days, religious trends are really interesting. I think I need to change my achievements from economics to religion. Religion is much more popular. Oh, let's talk about economics. When I said religion, you're focusing on religion. Yes, okay. Today, Islam. Oh, so we've invited this person, Professor Park Hyeon-doo from Sogang University's Euromana Research Institute. Today, we're going to talk about some interesting culture in the Islamic world. Welcome. Yes, hello. Professor Park Hyeon-doo. Are you a Muslim? Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I get asked that a lot. I'm Catholic. Roman Catholic. Absolutely devout Catholic. Not devout, but anyway, Roman Catholic. Oh, right. Does Islam have a meaning? What does it mean?
Oh, the word Islam, in fact, strictly speaking, comes from the verb sala, salama.
Sala, the
verb salama is the capital punishment verb aslama. Aslama means to submit.
It's a gerund of the verb submit. Islam, so, submission, submission, yes. But now, when we say submission, the word submission sounds a little strange. It feels forced and unpleasant. So, for Muslims, if you submit, it's dedication.
Yes, voluntary dedication. So, there. Used to be an English pop song title called Sweet Surrender. That's the feeling.
Sweet Surrender, yes.
Salima, here, the verb, peace, also appears. Then, the direct verb, aslam, is submission, meaning submission to the will of God. A
Muslim is a person who submits to Islam. A person who submits.
Yes, a person who submits. Now, that's the Arabic form. A person who practices Islam is a Muslim. A
man is Muslim. A woman is Muslim. Oh, because there are men and women. Yes, but for us, there's no such thing as a male-female relationship, so it's uncomfortable. English-speaking countries, too, have generally treated Muslims as a generic term. Well, if you call them Muslim, they'll understand. Yes, yes, Muslims will understand. Yes, yes. Actually, there's a better word than Muslim. It's Mu'min. Mu'min. Yes, that believer. Oh, I should bring this up. Because no one in Korea talks about it. Yes, was the early Islamic movement, yes, a Muslim movement? Question mark. There's a scholar who disagrees, and I strongly agree with him. Yes, Fred M. Warner. So, the first Islamic movement was, when Muhammad spoke, the word Muslim came later, referring to the silent believers.
Believers, I believe, were people who believed in God, and included both Jews and Christians. Yes, yes, yes.
That Madagascar movement wasn't a movement that targeted Jews and non-Christians from the beginning, but rather they lived together peacefully. Yes, it was a movement of going together. Yes, it would have been a movement of going together. So the word Mum is more original, and the word Muslim probably came about later. So, looking back, it was in a region like Trichy. Yes, Antioch was like that too. They all just gathered together and lived well. That's right. When did things start to get so bad between them? The Crusades, or rather, the Crusades played a significant role. Yes.
The Crusades played an important role, and in modern times, it was colonialism.
Oh, European colonial sentiment. Actually, the Crusades didn't have that big of an impact. Oh, really? Yes, strictly speaking, the Crusades fought among themselves a lot. Oh, yes. It's said that the Crusades didn't really fight against Islam, but rather fought among themselves. I wonder
who you guys are. For example, I hate Kim Prawn. Starting with that, I held hands with Jung Pro, who came as a crusader, and beat Kim Prawn. Kim Prawn also held Jung Prawn's hand and beat me.
So, strictly speaking, the Crusades were a central Western story, not something that important to Muslims. Yes, they came in and ruled Muslims. So, the first person to leave a really interesting comment about this was Gaddafi. Gaddafi, yes, yesterday, Donghua Construction's Chai Wan Soap, that Gaddafi. Yes, yes, Libya's Gaddafi.
What Gaddafi said was that at the time, Muslims were under European rule and studying in Europe. After studying, I realized, wow, this is how they think about the cross.
That surprised me.
Yes, I was surprised. And then he said that in Europe at the time, the Crusades were usually classified up to the Eighth Order.
So, what Gaddafi was saying was that the
Crusades weren't over. They didn't end with the Eighth. There were Ninth. The Ninth was Napoleon's invasion of Egypt in 1798.
Yeah. The Tenth. The independence of Israel in 1948. Well, Israel is viewed as a crusader state. That's how
people came to think of it in modern times. So, the Crusades weren't originally a very important event for Muslims.
From a Muslim perspective, the Muslim regions that came into contact with the Crusades were very limited. So, most people didn't even know they existed or that they were an attack on us. Yes, that's right, yes. Oh, really? Oh, but is it true that many Muslims now harbor some ill feelings toward the West? That's not true, yes.
Yes, even though our Korean feelings toward Japan have softened a lot, they
still exist. They're much stronger than that. Oh, they're even stronger than that. Why is it stronger? Why isn't it softening? They haven't been receiving mail for a long time. Oh, at least since 1798. Right, that's what it is. And they actually killed a lot of people. A lot of people died and suffered, so yeah, it's hard to bear. But that doesn't mean Muslims have always been peaceful and kind to Christians. Yes. For example, the decisive moment that led to the Crusades was when the Seljuk Turks, who spoke the same language as we do today, came down from the central city and began to interfere with the Byzantine Empire. And eventually, when the Ottoman Turks took complete control in 1453.
Didn't the Muslims use force? They did. Of course, Muslims used force too. So Muslims used a lot of force too. I'm not just blaming the Crusaders, it's different when you fight. So this doesn't mean Muslims are absolutely immune. Yes.
However, because the memories of colonial rule are so strong in modern times, it seems like it lasts a long time. Yes, it lasts a long time. What I'm curious about is that the Catholic Church has cathedrals in many countries, and those cathedrals are owned by the Vatican, under the central authority of the Holy See. So what about that? So, strictly speaking, they all dispatched. For example, strictly speaking, you can think of it this way. You can think of it as the principal authority system of medieval Europe, the Roman Catholic Church.
So, the Pope is elected by the Vatican, but he's also the Bishop of Rome.
Yes, there are bishops all over the world. We also have bishops in our country. They appoint them. Yes, the Vatican appoints them. Among those bishops, the Archbishop is the Pope. So, there are bishops in Korea too. For example, in Seoul alone, there's Seoul Archdiocese, Gwangju Archdiocese, and Daegu Archdiocese. They're divided into large regions. There's also Wanju, and the Wanju Diocese. These
bishops are the archbishops of the archdiocese, and ordinary dioceses are the bishops. So many people think, oh, so the archbishop is more powerful? No.
The Archbishop of Seoul, the Archbishop of the Seoul Diocese, can't command the Bishop of Wanju. Well, it's independent, after all. It's independent. It's an independent property system. There's only one person who can command here, the Bishop of Rome. Well, then,
Brother Kim Soo-won, while he was still alive, said, yes, you can't do this to the Bishop of Wanju. You can't. So, as our Kim Fron mentioned, President Park Chung-hee didn't know about it. Bishop Zhiyak soon made anti-government remarks, right? Wanju. Yes. So they immediately arrested Bishop Zhiyak soon, who was coming down to Gimpo Airport. What do you think? The Blue House thought they could just tell the Cardinal King since they had him. That's not true. This is an international
issue. This is a matter for the Pope. They should report it directly to the Pope. Yes.
So, because Catholicism is structured like that, it's a very public organization. Islam isn't.
So, if you want to build a church in your town, the archbishop or bishop in charge of that area decides to build it. Yes. They report on the budget and other things to the Vatican, and they send euros, or they don't. Usually, rich countries handle things on their own, and if they need help, they receive assistance from around the world. But our country can do it on its own, so we do it ourselves. Does it go to the Vatican? Yes.
It's a donation, right?
So, poor countries receive it, rich countries send it, and we send it too. Yes. But where in Seoul did you build the church? It must have been built a long time ago. Land prices must have gone up a lot. Didn't we mention that? So, if Myeongdong Cathedral is redeveloped, Myeongdong Dang can't be redeveloped. It's a cultural asset. It's a cultural asset.
Yes, the Labor Party there. The priests of that parish nailed everything inside Yeongdu Cathedral.
It's
a cultural asset, so it's a cultural asset. It's
managed by the state, so they sold the cultural asset before it was built. It must be inconvenient. It's managed by the state. If a parish sells land, the property doesn't go directly to Rome. Here in Korea, the property is sold by the parish. Oh, I understand.
So, the Catholic Church has the same Roman Catholic system as Europe. So, it's very different from Islam. Islam doesn't have a central organization, but each country.
Professor, when you talk about Islam, which you majored in, you speak a bit conservatively, so you talk about Catholicism, which you believe in, and you talk with great confidence. But you pay taxes, things like that. Islam is not Islam, it's the Roman Catholic Diocese. You pay taxes, things like our taxes. No, so donations go there. Some of the donations have to be mixed in. You have to mix it in. Islam, Islam, dot. Yes, yes, now, Islam today, especially now, culture, our food. Now, let's do it. Yes, Hanul, Hanul is famous, right? There are quite a few Hanul restaurants in Seoul these days. Yes, but what exactly does Hal mean? Have you heard of haram? Haram, haram, ha, you all know haram, right? Haram, yes, 125th Street, Harlem, right? Not Harlem in New York?
There's this thing called Harlem, Harlem Emperor's women, like the two of them. What does haram mean? It's the haram of haram. Haram means forbidden.
The opposite is halal, permitted, yes, permitted, forbidden, haram, permit haram, and then, halal is permitted. What about protection haram? Protection haram. Yes, protection haram. Protection koharam is a movement that comes from that age. Protection koharam. So protection is probably Western education. Western education is haram. Don't do it. Yes, yes.
Haram means prohibited. Prohibition has two meanings. It's too sacred, so it can mean both doing it and not doing it. But haram means forbidden, and halal means permitted, so they say to eat permitted food. Food that Muslims can eat. Why are you allowing it? Just eat it as you wish.
Because it's clearly written in one of the four verses of Honey in Honey. It lists exactly four things you shouldn't eat. Four things. First of all, dead animal bones.
Who wouldn't eat that? But think about it. Who would eat a corpse? But if a sheep suddenly collapsed and died in front of me, I could eat that, right? Yes, I'm telling you not to eat it.
Right, so I'm telling you to have a Taoist priest and eat it. Yes, right. If you're going to eat it, kill it and eat it. Yes, don't eat anything that died of natural causes. Yes, yes, that's right. Secondly, blood. Blood. Prophet.
Yes, blood. You know what Muslims can't eat the most, right? Prophet's hangover soup. If
you go eat that, you're completely blasphemous.
Oh, you're in big trouble. Now, if you want to cut ties with Muslim, you can go to Sion Jaekwon.
Oh, and you can't have Sunday either. Of course you can't. It's pork, right? Ha Pil Lim also has pork. Yes, and then, no pork. Pork, yes, no pork. And then, what about offering something else in the name of God?
Yeah, you know.
Those sacrificial foods? Not offered to God. Oh, but pork? Yes. Arabs and Jews don't eat it, right? Only Christians, Buddhists, etc. Yes, yes. But why? In Arab countries, there are various theories. It's cursed. It can't look up at the sky. This pig, huh? It's waving its hand and looking up at the sky. But it seems like a pig has never looked up at the sky. It's trying to find something. Dot. It's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. Why? Why? Pork. Originally, pork was served on the Persian emperor's table. Yes. Of course he ate it. Of course he ate it back then. Right. Yes. But everyone was curious about our Kim Prue's question. Jews are also curious about the history of the region. So, those Middle Eastern scholars, based on archaeological findings, come up with several inferences. One of them is that no pig bones have been found. Well, pigs didn't live well in dry places. They couldn't survive. Pigs can't live in humid places, right? That's why pig stomachs are found in humid places in the Middle East. So, they ate pork in humid places, and that means there were pigs.
Secondly, in the areas conquered by the Hebrews, the natives were eating pork.
Well, since they were conquered, they were treated inferior to me. Well, since they were conquered, they were treated inferiorly. So some say they didn't eat it, but it's so delicious that I want to eat it all while they can't.
So, we don't have an answer yet, but the most convincing evidence is that in humid areas, pork bones are found, but in dry areas, they aren't found.
So, since they're not around, there's no reason to tell people not to eat them. But if they're new, we'd eat them as a delicacy. Oh, this is precious. Among many animals, why is it that only dogs are like that? That's not it. There's a lot of talk about competing with humans for food.
There's talk about competing with humans for food.
But yes, there's one thing that pigs find unfair. Yes. They only eat 80% of their food. Oh, that's a show off, but
there's one animal that eats 100% of its food.
Is that humans? That's humans. So, in a pigsty, you could argue about who's more piggy. But I don't think that's possible. I was really curious about that, so I looked into it. Well, most of the people in the Middle East weren't settled, but they were herders, shepherds, nomads, that kind of thing. Shepherds, you know, they take their animals around like this. Now, they're given feed, but back then, there wasn't any feed, so they had to graze. They go out to graze, and pigs are eating grass, right? Pigs don't eat grass. So, if you talk nonsense, you're saying pigs eat grass, right? Isn't it dog grass? Pigs eat a lot of tribute, right? That's not right. So, cows and sheep, especially sheep, do this. It's like this. Pigs don't fit into grassy pastures, so that's appropriate for a settled people. Oh, but even so, since they can't be taken around anyway, they can't eat it. Well, there's no law against eating squirrel meat, right? So, there must be something wrong with it to the point of making such a law. That means a lot of people ate it. Or, rather, it's just too delicious. Pork, well, we used to tell people to cook it thoroughly before eating it. We don't do that much these days, but pork is particularly vulnerable to parasites and such. So if you eat pork, it's going to be bad for your children. In hot countries like this, it can die in just a day or two, and parasites can cause a big problem. So, isn't that why you wrote that we shouldn't eat pork? In fact, I've seen over 10,000 adults change their lives through Wisdom College. The only thing Wisdom College has done is bring together the best minds in each field, regardless of the country. And now, the Wisdom College 2026 class has returned with an even stronger and more overwhelming global picture. Bernard Werber, the legendary bestseller with over $30 million in sales worldwide, author of Justice, What is the Right Thing to Do?, and Michael Sandel, a professor of political science at Harvard University, along with 17 of the best intellectuals from Korea and abroad representing their respective fields will be joining us. Just by registering, you will receive a whopping 300,000 won worth of benefits, including a 12-month Kyobo Bookstore e-book pass, a 1-month 3% G membership, and a 1-month 3% stock investment membership. Start Wildem College now to enjoy the lowest tuition and maximum benefits, and learn how to finish 2025 wisely and start 2026 more perfectly than anyone else. For more information, please check the link below the video.